Good morning and welcome. Thanks for coming. And you are going to be blessed by coming this morning for many ways, many reasons. I want to sing a song this morning that echoes both the words of Dr. King and I predict Todd's words this morning. How can we be silent? Number 61 in the Sing the Journey book. The Green Sing the Journey, number 61.
This morning we continue focusing on a variety of themes that are important here at EMU, continuing the conversation from Martin Luther King Jr. celebration, also continuing the conversation around sustainability, creation care, watershed discipleship, and partnering with Earth Keepers and the other clubs that are interested in these issues. And in some ways, continuing the conversation, certainly, with Todd Winward, in that this is not your first time here at EMU and in Harrisonburg. In fact, there's a continuing to connect in with this community, with Vine and Fig and New Community Project and the churches, especially that are members of Mennonite Creation Care Network. We can engage with Todd over chapel, but also if you're available right after the chapel, he and I will move to Common Grounds for informal conversation, and then from 11:30 to 12:30 in the West Dining Room. And if you don't have a meal plan and you're a student here and you'd like to come, Campus Ministries will cover the cost of your lunch. The title of this chapel is Repairers of the Breach: Earth Justice, Everyday Heroes, and the Poor People's Campaign. And in this In this effort, Todd is linking the ancient prophetic words of Isaiah with the Reverend William Barber's Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, set to sweep the country in 2018. 50 years after Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, Barber and countless others across America are carrying on King's unfinished call for integrated justice, addressing the intersectional evils of racism, poverty, the war economy, and environmental degradation. This is the time to join in the movement. Todd Winward is a wilderness educator and author of this book, Rewilding the Way, Break Free to Follow an Untamed God. He has a few copies for sale. Campus Ministries has copies in our library that I'm carrying with us that you could sign out, check out if you'd like to read it. When he is not reimagining Christianity, Winward is reimagining public education and the American way of life, starting with his own life and that of his family in Taos, New Mexico. Locally, he practices homesteading in the high desert, while nationally, he works to galvanize movements in watershed discipleship, bioregional food covenants, and more with less living. He's been engaged in experiential education and social change movements for 20 years or more, and has spent more than 1,000 nights outdoors. He's a founder of a wilderness-based public middle school, leads backpacking and river trips for adult seekers, and is an animating force behind Tilt, an intentional co-housing community. Pathos.com calls his previous book, his novel, The Secrets of Leaven, a delicious mystery exploring deep questions. His writings and doings can be found at leavenrising.com. We are grateful that you carved out a couple hours to be with us today while you're visiting in the area. Let's welcome Todd back to EMU.
Good morning. How many people are a little sleepy out there? Hey, well, you made it today. I'm going to jump right in and say greetings from Mountain States and from Taos, New Mexico. And also, I'm just honored by the fact that I saw two people who recognized me on campus this morning before I got here, which is not always the case. Last time I came and I felt a little bit like no one knew and I didn't know if anyone cared. And after a couple of years now of working with being at the Orlando conference as well as coming here now three times, I'm starting to see a lot of familiar faces. So if you get tired of me, too bad, I'll be coming back. And I every January, I hope to be coming back as part of a liaison with New Community Project. So Vine and Fig is an expression here in town that you may know very well. Taos, New Mexico has an affiliate site now with New Community Project, and we're hoping to create a network of communities of like-minded, like-spirited communities across the country. So that's a new initiative, and I'm the guy who's spearheading that. Tom Benevento, who's the spearhead here at Vine and Fig, doesn't have a lot of extra time, neither do most of us, but my job is to try to help create a network across the country. So I hope you can stay interested then with that. We're going to do a little old-fashioned Bible reading here for just a minute. So Matt, if you would show that. This is from 2,500 years ago, 2,500 years ago, the prophet Isaiah. Please read this with me. Is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted. Then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. 2,500 years ago, how do you think Isaiah's audience received this? This is an if-then. Isaiah says, what is a true fast? And then he goes on to say, if you share your lives with the poor, if you give your water to the parched, if you do not ignore even your own kin, then the Lord will make your bones strong. Then you shall be known as the repairers of the breach. I think that privileged people were probably feeling slightly uncomfortable, maybe disturbed. I think that Isaiah may have disturbed their slumber. And so I bring this out today because there's a modern movement called Repairers of the Breach. Reverend Dr. William Barber has been one of those people involved in that for many years. And Repairers of the Breach is an active campaign and an active group today seeking a deep level of justice. 50 years ago, when Martin Luther King began to knit together racial injustice and economic injustice and the war economy, he started making people very uncomfortable. Uncomfortability is where privileged people need to be today. Am I right? You all somehow on a snowy day came here. You woke yourself at least from slumber to come and pay attention to something. Most of us are staying in a very comfortable sleepiness. And there's a revolution going on. There's a spirit in the land, as many of us feel all too well, a spirit of darkness, a spirit of injustice, a spirit of pain and division. But the part we might not be aware of is that response and renewal and regeneration is happening all around the edges of our country, and I come here to bring that good news to you. But Martin Luther King, one of his famous things that he did that's less famous than a letter to Birmingham or a vision of I Have a Dream speech, is a speech he gave in which he warned middle-class, comfortable Christians to not fall asleep during a revolution. And he used the idea of Rip Van Winkle. You know that story? Rip Van Winkle falls asleep and he wakes up to a new world, but one of the things that we don't remember from, as Martin Luther King pointed out, was that he slept through an actual revolution. The story, says King, is that Rip Van Winkle, when he was walking up to the mountain, there's actually a sign on the side of a wall that has King George in power. When he comes back down 20 years later, there's a young upstart named George Washington on that poster. He slept through an entire revolution. And King advocates for comfortable college people, comfortable universities, comfortable churches to not fall asleep during a revolution. And why I'm bringing this up is because this is exactly what Isaiah was asking 2,500 years ago. And it's a little bit disputable, but it's very clear that Isaiah was probably the clearest source that Jesus drew from. Jesus just did a mic drop when he comes out of the desert where he just says, this is happening right now. Liberation is happening right now. And he's quoting Isaiah. Isaiah is his man. Isaiah is the source for a lot of inspiration that then manifests in Jesus' life. So there's a continuous swing, a strand that is going on there. And this idea of picking up the bones of the prophet to do the unfinished work is an ancient legend in Judeo-Christianity that is exactly what is happening today. Jesus picked up the unfinished work and manifested it fully. I think this is the time that Martin Luther King's unfinished work is about to be finished. I think this is a time where we can go asleep, we can go back to our university, we can go back to our private life, we can go back to our 401k and our savings plan, we can build a security blanket so that we can die under it, or we can be transformed. We can become builders of the dawn, transformers and menders of the breach. So I want to tell you about this Poor People's Campaign and this idea of being sleepy. Disturbing us from a comfortable moral slumber is what's happening. What prophetic words are being spoken today? There is this movement about to burst forth, and I want to talk to you about that. And so this idea of are we awake, I want to tell you about my personal story. Matt, could you hit the next slide for me? I want you to look at this just for a minute in silence. Look deeply at the background. What do you see? I'd like to hear of you, actually, just a few of you shout out something you see. Motion. Justice. There's actually the word justice in there.
Diversity.
Stream? Street. I'm going to point out that there is an obvious icon of Martin Luther King. Next to him is Reverend William Barber right over here. Above both of them, the Spirit is descending. In the Spirit descending, the sun is bursting. Below and over to the left is the Rio Grande Gorge. Over to the right, in the side, is hard to see as a burning bush. Down to the corner of the left is a medicine wheel owned by a water protector and a rejoicing musician over on this side. In the middle, it's a woman with her arms extended, a heart extended, and a river pouring out of her body. There are coyotes and there are bears impregnated into this. This is an all-in vision that I asked a street artist friend of mine to paint. It's an 8-foot-wide mural. It's the backdrop of launching the Poor People's Campaign in New Mexico. I want to make sure that you understand the Poor People's Campaign has a colon after it, and then it says a national call for moral revival. I want to say that right now at stake, we have the possibility of a national moral revival, of reclaiming morality and spirituality that isn't narrowly defined as unfortunately evangelicals and the media have sometimes done. This is a deep morality where justice is what's at center. And it's not about right and left, it's about right and wrong. And this is to do what's right. Now, I was invited to a 2-day training when Reverend Barber came to New Mexico. Matt, can you show that next slide? I ended up speaking with Reverend Barber, and we thought that 500 people were going to come to an event that 1,200 people came to. This is the day after the tragedy in Charlottesville, and he showed up in Albuquerque as part of a beginning of a 35-state tour. I was not supposed to be on stage. Somebody else was supposed to sort of fill in for that environmentalist niche, and they canceled at the last minute. So I ended up holding Barber's cane as well as being up there and giving. I got to ask how many Mennonites were in the house, and there were quite a few cheering in there. We had 15 different people from across the state representing union workers, Hispanic rights advocates, Black Lives Matter people, queer rights people, Jewish mystics, Buddhist theologians. We had a cross-section the best we could muster, and this was a kickoff. And so I was invited to a two-day training just before this. And I came down, honestly, I was fairly sleepy, as we might say. I was a bit unconscious. I was a bit reluctant. Why, for example? Because poverty is an important thing to fight, but it's not mine. As you may know of my history, I've been both trying to rewild Christianity and working on environmental justice issues. Poverty is an amazing and needed issue to struggle with, but I didn't consider that mine until this training. And so the notion of, isn't this just another competing issue? This is a poor people's campaign, as Barber calls it, that has four pillars to it. Those pillars are fighting the intersectional evils of poverty and racism and the war economy and environmental devastation. This is a big tent. This is a tent that we all can get behind. Reverend Barber has the street cred, the social justice experience, the articulation and oratory, and the openness to bring in issue after issue and say, this is about justice for all. And as the tide rises, all boats rise. I think this is an unprecedented moment at this point since King. I have been waiting a long time, and I'm not that old. I've got some 70-year-old friends who say they've been waiting 50 years for a moment like this. King was assassinated when he started intersecting the triple evils of racism, militarism, and economy. The fourth piece, the environmental degradation piece, has even risen greater, but he was starting to make connections with that too. And so this idea of it being just another competing issue, that was my first struggle, and I was won over. The next one was, well, why call it the Poor People's Campaign? If it's about all four of these things, that just feels funny. Like, how am I poor? If I can't ensure the health of my own son's well-being because of dirty air, polluted water, a hostile planet, I am impoverished. So even if you have material wealth, even if you sit comfortably with a couple of cars or an insurance policy, you have no insurance for this future. We all are impacted deeply by all of four of these intersecting causes, some much more than others. But this is about everyone who's impacted by these evils, and that includes all of us in this room. And so this notion of calling it the Poor People's Campaign is because it's about those who are most impacted first, and following that agenda of people who have been most impacted and following that lead. This is a 40-day manifestation between Mother's Day and summer solstice, between May 13th and June 25th. 40 days of civil disobedience in which Barber is calling people across the country, perhaps 1,000 in each state, to rise up at once and to show their strength together in a way that may have never been seen before in this country. I'm doing a lot of training and thinking in my own hometown of how can we prepare ourselves for this. So we're starting to learn more about Gandhian nonviolence and integrated nonviolence. We're trying to learn about the intersection of these four evils and how our town can really show up. Taos is not a big place. There's 30,000 people scattered across the size of Rhode Island. But when Standing Rock showed up as an issue, as a place, we started supporting like nobody's business. We started feasting, we started drumming, we started welcoming people back, we raised convoys to go. That converted my heart as a Christian to find common cause with a lot of Native and Hispanic folks that I wouldn't normally have done. It's caused a level of celebration and ferocity in our town that we know we can show up for this. Virginia is another state that has been invited to this campaign. I ask you to wake up to this and to name it in your own life as something that you don't fall asleep about. So I'm here to disturb you a little bit, like the prophet Isaiah may have been disturbing his people. this idea of bonding with and giving to the least of these as a direct sign of being one of God's children is what Isaiah said and what Jesus said, what Martin Luther King advocates, and now what Barbara is asking us to do. I want you to know, though, that disturbing the peace is something that has to happen in order to have true peace. Many of us look back at the civil rights today and kind of go, nice job, that was all pretty clean. We have to remember that two-thirds of the white people in America thought what was happening was actively not helping black civil rights. They felt that what was happening was destructive, disturbing, impolite, and unnecessary. And so when an action of unrest is happening, it often feels unrestful to those of us who are resting. This is just so unnecessary. So when you see this happening around you, my question is, will you be joining in, or will be you falling asleep? Matt, can you hit the third slide for me? Oh, we're already there. These are some of my friends from Taos Pueblo, from the local Chicano La Raza movement, as well as white Christians. The idea of, in a unified way, to come in prayer, to come in celebration, and to come in force is what this movement is about. To be a repairer of the breach is exactly the call from Isaiah. And I pray that together, when we think about the Mennonite church, when you think about your own individual life, your community, will you wake up and answer the call? I think Isaiah and I think the Spirit is knocking on our doors. I'd like to be part of the revolution instead of asleep. Thanks for your time today.